My face currently feels like I've been run through by Tom Stewart.
Puts it to the top of the square. Oh, beautiful little fist in there by Dale. Crucial centimetre moments.
He definitely has a bit of the Belcho spirit. as I have a bit of the Belcho spirit.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Back Pocket, the only podcast that didn't know the Tasmania Devil was a real animal. How's everyone doing? My name's Alistair, joined as always by Jack to talk about Defenders and AFL. How you doing, Jack?
Yeah, it's me. I'm good. That's the funniest possible outcome, Warner Brothers just being like, oh, it's an animal. Oh, well, that's fine then. You can use that for sure.
Really important businessman in a suit in America being, you can't use that name, that's ours. Someone brings up the Wikipedia page of a Tasmania Devil and they go, ah, shit, yeah, all right, you can have that one.
Oh, that's a real thing. That's my bad. I'm sorry about that.
I thought they were made up. You telling me they don't spin around and make tornadoes? Anyway, this podcast is about Defenders, and each week we give rankings 5 through 1, 5 votes being the most, 1 vote being the least of the best Defenders of the week, and at the end they win the Silvani Scarlet Medal, which is a real medal we definitely give out.
In fairness, I did get it designed, get it organised and get it booked, and then the Eagles and Tom Brass never got back to me, so it never got made. But it could exist if someone were to accept one.
Yeah, well, maybe one day someone will accept one.
Anyway, yeah, so through one, and obviously the most important thing being that it's for actual defensive work. Things like intercepts and rebound 50s, not just running off the back flank into the middle of the ground and being another midfielder.
Yeah.
All right, so you do the intro, I go first.
Yeah,
for me vote. This week, my one vote was Tomasimo D'Ambrosio.
I can understand that. He was really good.
I thought he was really good. He showed exactly why I was baffled that Essendon wouldn't give him that extra year. He wanted to get it across the line. It seemed really odd. 29 disposals, 11 intercepts, 4 rebounds, had 8 score involvements. 5 of those were launches.
Mm-hmm.
384 metres gained and 13 defensive half-pressure acts. He was a really important part, especially in that first half when Hawthorn were all over the Bombers. Big fan. Great game. Hopefully more of that.
Yeah, really good addition to their lineup, I think. I do definitely think he was underused at Essendon, especially when they have had such success with Durham and Martin with their mid-season picks.
Absolutely.
I feel like he was a bit hard done by. I feel like you could easily give him a game over someone like Nick Hind.
That was my first thought. And he proved to be really good cover for Will Day, who's obviously a massive hole missing in that lineup. So.
Yeah, who should be back round 7, I read.
Yeah, I think that's earlier. Yeah,
so that's good for Hawthorn because they definitely need him.
Boy, do they.
My one vote, and honestly, in a losing side, I probably could have given him more votes, goes to Nick Vlosten.
Yes, okay, he almost got in for me. It was just those couple of turnovers.
It happens.
Which obviously happens, but I think it was the damning one for me, and even Dad messaged me about it, was after that amazing tackle. And he got the, obviously it turned out to be, I think they overturned it to hold on the ball, which I didn't know they could do.
Yes, because he didn't kick the ball.
Yeah, but I didn't know a score review could become an on-field decision.
Yeah.
But he then kicked it straight to a Carlton player and it turned into a goal. But anyway, he was very, very good.
Especially, I don't know if you've seen the highlights, but that double-handed spoil on Adam Saad when he was completely out and running was a highlight. But 24 disposals, 17 kicks, 6 marks, 6 tackles, went at 80%, so, you know, everyone gets their one stuff up. 11 intercept possessions, 495 metres gained, 7 rebound 50s. Really solid game in a game that was decided by 5 points.
Absolutely. I will remove him from my special mentions, but he was in there. My 2 this week was to Stephen May.
Same.
Awesome.
I like it when we agree. I have to speak less.
It's nice. It also lines up when I do the spreadsheet a lot better.
Yeah.
25 disposals, 6 intercepts. 4 of those were intercept marks. 2 of those marks were contested. 607 metres gained.
Which for a tall is huge. Awesome.
He was really, really impressive. They bounced back hard this week. I was impressed.
Yep.
And the opposite is true for the Bulldogs. I was very disappointed with the second half. But, Stephen May back to his best, wasn't he? He was just really good.
It's super important for them. I wrote down in my notes here that him being in good form means Melbourne can be in good form.
Absolutely.
That's huge for them and their potential whole season, really.
Yeah, we talked a lot last year about the importance of he and Lever both being
fit. We've been doing
fit.
It since we started the podcast, actually.
Yeah.
It's probably the most important defensive duo in the league.
Absolutely. Just
We'll get back to that, but possibly the most
to,
important.
To their team structure, I think it's so important because their rebound game has always been so important. Their entries inside 50 are not their strongest suit, so they've always needed to, like Sydney did in the early noughties and late noughties, have a really strong rebound game.
Yeah.
It's the same with Melbourne now. Hmm. So on to my three, I guess, which was, again, I think, to Sam Taylor.
Okay.
I think he was my two last week, which is the middle one.
Sam Taylor is an honourable mention for me this week.
Fair enough. He didn't have a lot of the ball, yeah, but he had 13 disposals and 12 of those 13 were intercepts.
It's crazy, right? I looked
seven
at the
intercept
stats
marks.
Line.
Five of those were contested and they were all contested intercept marks. Six spoils, two score involvements, and both of those were launches.
Yeah.
Awesome game.
Yeah. You can throw a dart at pretty much that whole back six and pick someone for these votes this week and last week.
What a back line. Just all round. What a back line.
They are a scary prospect this year, GWS, and until they get picked apart, they're going to win a lot of games, I think.
Yeah.
My three, possibly a podcast favourite, Charlie Ballard is my three.
Oh, he was my five.
Okay, fair enough.
He was good.
He's only 24.
Any coaches' votes for
that game? I saw that as well.
Blew my mind. Anyway, you can start your bit and I'll fill in any gaps if you want.
Yeah, I've just got the basic stats down. It's the 13 kicks, 13 intercept possessions and 10 one percenters. I don't know about his contested one-on-ones or anything.
Yeah, four out of four, two intercept marks.
There you go.
All 10 of those one percenters are spoils.
Yeah.
Awesome game.
He's a gun and he's only 24.
He's just so good.
As a key, he is a future multiple All-Australian. Honestly, he and Collins could both get into a side one year if they have a banging year.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, hopefully Gold Coast do this year, and Collins has been shaping up well. But yeah, he was phenomenal. I couldn't say more about it, except for that when I checked the coaches' votes on Monday and I saw he wasn't there, I kind of double-checked. I was like, am I on the right week? Like,
yeah, it was a strange omission, but hey, what do we know?
Yeah, I mean, Rowan Marshall didn't get a vote, so who knows?
My our conspiracy, the winning team just gets free votes.
Again, Geelong win by 7 points thanks to a Dangerfield bomb.
Yeah.
And Geelong get all but one of the votes.
Can't win by 5 points hanging on, and the only one who gets votes is Vlosten, I'm pretty sure. So.
It's odd. My four was to Mitch McGovern.
Same. Again, we line up. That's nice.
He was great, wasn't he? We were talking about it during the game, how he just kept filling into those holes. 26 disposals, 595 metres gained, which, again, huge for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
9 intercepts, 3 intercept marks, 8 score involvements, 4 of those were launches and 5 rebound 50s.
Yeah, the rebound 50s to score involvements is crazy. Plus, he went at 92%. He had one flub, which sucks to see, especially as a Carlton guy, but I thought he was fantastic, and he's probably in career-best form right now.
I was really happy to see that when I was joking about it at like half and three quarter time about how tall the top half of that list was, that I was right. It was like the tallest ever top six in a fantasy game.
Yeah, they were huge.
It was a big game for talls, which was, I mean, strange for a night game in an open stadium. They were just everywhere and really good. So, great game, Mitch McGovern. Really good to see him filling that void. Kemp was good again, I think, as well. So,
yeah. Kemp has one brain fade a game, and I'm sure you're used to that being a Geelong supporter with Collard Jagny.
Who gets a special mention from me for having none this week.
And I will also special mention him because I can't spell his name.
Every time I type it in, I go, and I go to Google, and I've typed it right, but I don't trust myself.
My brain just defaults to writing dash pig, it doesn't.
Pig, I get it.
It doesn't work.
Who was your five this week?
Jack Buckley. I threw my dart and I picked Jack Buckley.
He was brilliant. Full clarity, we were discussing before it how there were so many players this week that could have got votes. I agree, Buckley was brilliant again. He's becoming such a key cog in that back line. If he can stay injury free,
He's huge.
With Taylor, I guess,
Haynes,
the two you were talking
in.
About. Yeah, learning about Haynes with his infections and staph infections he had last year and why he had to play as a sub so much and was again this week. What a warrior, frankly.
Anyone who can front up under the face of those kind of medical conditions, huge. Yeah. But Jack Buckley, 17 disposals, 9 marks, 94% efficiency, which is good, 10 intercept possessions, 7 one percenters. I don't know what amount was spoils. I don't go into that hard, but he's becoming elite. He's 26 years old, and with Taylor, they will form a partnership for the next 8 years, which could be huge for DWS.
Yeah, absolutely. Not me with my specialised stats column that I open up when I go into the website. So my special mentions this week, we mentioned Collard Jagny. Pierce was the one I said that I think people could have given a five this week.
I missed Pierce, couldn't get him in.
Who was very good. I just think that I posted about this on our Twitter during that game. I feel like he's just lost a bit of the class he used to have in his game. I don't know what it is. He just looks a little more of a workman than a, you know, clean player than he used to. I don't know what's changed. Maybe just the bulk of injuries and age.
Yeah, the last time I saw him perform to the level I expect at top line was when he played in Geelong last year on Hawkins.
Brilliant.
But it doesn't even compare that game.
His best when he was at his best was phenomenal.
Thought Luke Ryan was quite good as well in that game. And I've also written down Zach Guthrie just because you said you would kill me if I didn't. So.
Zach Guthrie was in there. He was really good. I thought he was one of Geelong's best. And I thought Will Powell as well was good again.
Yeah.
He's just very, very good.
Just put him in for a permanent spot in honourable mentions if he doesn't get a vote.
Yeah, almost. Darcy Moore is becoming a problem with Murphy out.
Yes. When I said May and Lever are the most important combo to a team, this might now be the most important combo.
Seeing the way that Sicily has had to sacrifice his defensive game with both Blank and Granger Brass injured.
Do you mean his attacking game?
Yeah, sorry, he's had to go back to a defensive game. Moore has had zero contested defensive one-on-ones in two games.
Yep.
And he is the main key back. Like they've got a kid up there with him.
Yeah.
Who's doing fine.
He's probably doing better.
Maybe they have to bring Frampton in to cover it, just someone who's more experienced. But at the moment, with no Murphy, Moore can't afford to keep playing that game. And it's costing them a lot, I think.
I don't think right now, and Jeremy Howe is kind of playing that third tall defender. I don't think with their setup at the moment, they can afford to have less talls.
No. Especially when Howe is almost more of an intercept style player than Moore is.
Yeah. I think if they bring Frampton in and free up Moore and Howe, and then possibly even add something to their forward line, so that they have a few more marking options, it will improve them greatly.
It makes their game this week, I think, really interesting because I really thought that St Kilda's strongest point against Geelong would be their midfield. They do have a much better midfield, and that's where they got beaten.
Yeah.
They got beaten in centre clearance, belted in centre clearances, only just won in clearances despite having Marshall dominating all around the ground. But where they were able to win was preventing Geelong from scoring, which I thought would be the opposite story.
I also thought they were incredibly fast.
Yeah, they did look quick.
They're going to run Collingwood off their feet.
With the way Collingwood have looked slow for starters, but also if they're what I really thought would be St Kilda's Collingwood's strength is the midfield, but if Collingwood can't defend and St Kilda's forward line is looking as potent as it has the last few weeks, last week, it is a worry for Collingwood this week. It'll be interesting to see how they match up.
Yeah, and especially when you've got so many players who you normally can throw in the middle and make an impact, like, Dacos has been playing there pretty much permanently, but specifically Crisp, I think, has been really down on the form.
Yes, I agree.
And he's the kind of player you just pencil in for a good game every week.
Yeah.
And when those players are letting you down, and then you've got the players who, you know, when they're great, they're great. Your Will Houskin-Elliott's, your Bobby Hills, but they're not performing to their standard. Lachie Schultz has not hit his straps as he did at Fremantle. It's a concern.
It's just like we always said. No Jack Ginnivan, no Collingwood.
That's like we always said. Well, they've kept the ducking. So
yeah, they have. They passed it on to Bandubri and Dacos last week, apparently.
But I'm not overly concerned. I think it will adjust due to the fact that they may get Murphy back, and if not, they'll adjust their structure. And I think you're right with the fact that both of the grand finalists have had to play a week earlier.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, the next two teams as well, GWS have been lucky where they played North this week.
Yeah.
And Carlton just got across the line against Richmond.
Yeah.
Those teams that have now had one on two weeks less than a normal preseason have started off sluggish.
Well, it was interesting to read. I don't know if you did read about Carlton talking about the heavy training loads they did, and they're going to use this as their mini preseason break. That sounds smart.
It does.
That's the kind of thing you hear when a team has a really good season, but I'm interested to see if it pays off.
I did see today a confirmation that the Players Association has pushed back against the permanent 24-round season. Basically, I think especially after these couple of weeks, they've probably had a chat.
It's too hot in Australia to do 24 games.
Way too hot. I reckon a few of the boys have had a chat and just said, we can't do it again. So hopefully that's not the case. If anything, you have to play the season later.
Just cut around.
Yeah. And absolutely.
Just keep gather round if you want, but just cut around.
Yeah.
Don't add an extra one.
Ben Mackay has just had two wins in a row for the first time in his career.
Ever?
Yes, ever. The last game for last year he played for North, they won.
That doesn't count.
First game in new colours, he won. It's the first time he has recorded.
Is he in double digit wins yet?
I think he's on 9 after that one. It might be double digit, but first time ever double in a row. That must feel nice.
It definitely would be. I'm not I'm still not 100% convinced. Neither of us had him in the votes. He didn't get a coach's vote despite Essendon having a comfortable win. He, like his brother, well, until this season apparently, can be very laconic.
Yes.
And it shows. Sometimes you just see him standing around, and defenders do feel space, but they're usually there to run into the hole and take a possession or impact something. I don't see him do that. It's an interesting one to watch. I like Ben McKay, and I hope he does have success, especially considering how many injuries and how few wins he's been in.
The games he was on for North, sometimes it was heartbreaking watching him just dourly defending while they were just getting punished.
So, I think if you go back and listen to some of our podcasts from last year when we give him
give votes, him a vote or two in a game where they've lost by 6 goals, and it's just like he tried his hardest.
And he'll be better suited, especially when Ridley is back.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a watch for me, just like I don't know anything more about that Port Adelaide trio.
Oh, I...
Radicalia and Sir Thatcher looked fine,
I posted about it, and a few Geelong fans I saw liked and retweeted it. It was, I said, good to see Radicalia doing very Radicalia things, but being saved by West Coast doing very West Coast things.
Yeah.
A couple of times he just turned it over on the wing, but West Coast just panic stationed themselves into a pressure situation and lost the ball. Alia looked good, but again, half the time he does, and then when he doesn't, and he's not being defensive.
I think Zirk Thatcher had the best game of the three.
I agree.
Yeah. Which is a good first up for him. I think he has the most to prove out of that bunch.
Yes. Other podcast favourites, James Sicily's kick, if you could call it that, his little bum touch.
Well, if you believe
I'm not going to cry on the podcast about the fact that he should have been suspended and the fact that the game has...
No, you said the AFL has let down.
Has let down the game, the code, this week. If it is classed under striking, as it is... it's not a trip, it was a strike. If it's classed under striking and it makes negligible impact, it technically shouldn't have even been a fine. Yeah. It was only fined because kicks have a bad vibe.
Yeah.
But I don't think, other than the vibe of it, a kick is worse than a punch.
I'm also...
contextually.
Because, I mean...
I'm not talking a jumper punch, I'm talking an open, you know, free swing.
When have you ever seen a player kick someone in such a way that causes them to miss weeks? Whereas you do see punches that have had players miss, especially with concussion.
The only person I can think of that kicked someone that's caused to lose weeks was Toby Green with studs up in Dalhouse's face.
I don't even know if that counts.
A bit different. The Sicily kick was... it looked like it was part of the body motion. Maybe it flicked out a bit too far. McGrath didn't even feel it hit him.
Yeah.
My
other question is, would you get suspended if you go to kick the ball, you miss it, and you kick the player? No, you wouldn't.
Well, that was what the Atkins one that Hawthorne used as a defence was, where he... obviously was going to kick the ball, but it was very rash and the player was there.
Yeah, that one was a ground ball.
Yeah, so and he connected like with Webster's ass.
And the best that should have been is a free kick for kicking in danger.
Yeah.
Which they don't pay very often.
No, there was a couple on the weekend that were shocking. Rowan Marshall went to punt one out of the goal square. Ruckman doing it away with things.
Yeah, we've seen that. We've seen Oscar McInerney play, who cannot play next week.
He's surely not.
I don't know.
There were so many times in the Carlton game where he could have just... punched the ball through for them to level the score and just didn't.
And on top of that, did you see the one where he goes to take a chest mark, it bounces out and a free play
Jackson made him grabs look it?
Yeah.
Very silly. He was very good as he was last year when Darcy was out. I think it's 6 or so weeks they're expecting Darcy to miss.
It really does seem like they
should have traded Darcy when they had the chance.
Yeah.
Could have got picks, freed up some salary space. I think they look almost better with Jackson. Obviously Darcy is a class ruckman.
Oh, but absolutely.
They have him for 10 to 15 games a year. Jackson looks, he looked last year in those last 6 games and looks now a fully realised first ruck.
Yep, and he can pinch it up forward and swap with the big kahuna, so I feel like Darcy and Jackson in the side is too much.
Yes, I agree.
Especially with Darcy's lack of versatility around the ground.
Yep. Did you have any notes for this week before I keep running through mine?
Because
I've got, obviously Tasmania was announced.
Yes, well, we kind of touched on that at the start of the show.
It's very brief to go through the fact that I'm glad they didn't call them the Tasmanian Devils, and it's Tasmania Devils, because Tasmanian would look very silly on a ladder. The colours, had to what the colours were.
Colours are perfect.
It's the same as all of their state teams are. I liked everything about the announcement. The back pocket is an inaugural member, which at the time was not one of 100,000, but now is and is a little less special.
It's a clean $1 million for the club to start with.
I was saying that, regardless of the fact that people are like, oh, it's only $10 or $15, that's $1 million to start off with, to start getting stuff done, which is really cool.
The two things to watch from here are, one, what do they do for the song?
Yep.
Do they go with a classic, or do they do what they did with the last couple where they get a artist in to write a song?
I think...
Works for GWS.
GWS and Gold Coast kind of got that you need the horns and old-timey sound. Yep. Frio West Coast Port didn't get that. No. So hopefully they have learnt that lesson.
I did see, I don't know if you saw the headlines, the lead singer from Luca Brasi, Tyler Richardson, came out.
He's going to write Frio song.
He did the Jackies Are on the March
right,
the Jack Jumpers, and he said, I can write some shitty tune in the car and it'll probably be fine. And I like that vibe to an AFL song.
With how much Alex Pierce loves Luca Brasi, I think that they should do the new Frio song instead.
Nah, they're Tassie born and bred. They won't deny.
I think that it's they did a lot of things right. I also think it was really clever from the AFL, knowing that a big part of it is if Labor gets elected in Tasmania, their current thing is they're not sure if they're probably not going to build the stadium, so they don't want to commit the funding to it. The groundswell now means that they would be under so much pressure that if they pulled out of that if they kept running that line before the election, they'll lose votes.
Yeah.
It was a very smart tactical decision from the AFL to ensure that funding gets put in.
Yep. And that's the other thing I would say is interesting to watch. If they stick with that and do still get elected, this club is completely still up in the air.
Yeah.
Despite the funding and go ahead from the AFL.
The support and the...
it's such an interesting thing to watch, and it's going to compromise the competition again.
It's very weird seeing states... Queensland's doing it as well with the Olympics, being like, you know...
How many times have the stadium plans changed in the last week alone?
Goodness. We sent that one to chat in the morning, and in the afternoon there was a different plan.
Yeah.
Stephen Miles saying the other day, despite the fact that, I don't know if you've seen Stephen Miles, but he could play a halfback role in the 90s for sure.
He's fit.
But saying that the people of Queensland don't want stadiums. Like,
he's Justin Leppard
shaped. They do want stadiums. What are you talking about? And it's the same as Tasmania. People love a new stadium.
Yeah.
Love a new stadium.
Well, I was talking with one of my mates who was like, oh, if they build a new stadium, they can get concerts there. And I laughed. I'm like, they're not flying Taylor Swift to Tasmania, mate. No. Like, for what, 20,000 people max?
Well, it's the same as like, when Perth got the new stadium. No one was bothered about the new stadium. It was the fact that they were sad Subi was being removed.
I'm still sad Subi's gone.
Would have still been functional. It's now just an oval for a local college. But
I have so many memories of Subi. So it's devastating that's gone.
Well, they could have kept that open for one, Waffle Games, two, smaller AFL games. If you're playing a team like a North or something.
If they ever have a gather round in WA, it would have been the perfect venue. Yeah,
it's a whole stadium missing.
They would have had three big venues they could play.
No one was upset about the new stadium. I think that was the big problem where, like, I think a lot of people don't understand that people love a stadium.
I also think it's helped by the fact in WA we had a 40,000 capacity stadium and it was going up to 60 when West Coast have 100,000 members.
And that's why the argument from a lot of people for the 20th team is in WA, because there's enough footy support here that both teams here have too many members
to
fill the stadium.
Yeah. Northern Territory, is there enough support?
Even less people than Tasmania.
They've definitely got the talent up in the Northern Territory leagues. Weather's a problem. Canberra, no support there. GWS already have a foothold.
Yeah.
Where else can you go? Queensland? Probably not.
I think the go-home factor would be huge for Darwin as well. People wouldn't want to... Like, a lot of kids would move back very quickly. Whereas I think Tassie's close enough to Melbourne. You can get there within a couple-hour flight.
Yeah.
It's got enough infrastructure, as long as they base it in Hobart, that is. I think it's the way to go. And then, it has to be Adelaide or Perth, the next one. You can't put it anywhere else.
Yeah,
probably doesn't have the people.
Yeah, it's hard, and there needs to be an even number.
We can't have a bye every week.
No.
It would drive not just people like us who do stuff like this insane, it would drive the footballing public insane.
Yeah.
If you're having, it'd be two byes a year for every team, no one wants that. One's more than enough to annoy people.
I get annoyed during bye. I'm pissed my team's not playing this week.
You got two byes this year.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's bizarre. I want to give a positive shout out to a commentator, which is something that I think we've done once before on the show, and it was to Brenton Speed.
Yeah.
This week, I want to give one to Matt Hill.
Matt Hill.
Who was brilliant. I couldn't believe that I was watching TV commentary.
Is that a point now when Carlton play, I want him to be commentating?
Matt Hill, and he was with Hutto, and because Hutto wasn't with the others, he wasn't doing the weird Hutto we've had for the last 3 or 4 years. It was one of the best commentated games I've heard in years.
Yep, and I also like when they have their regional. Speed and Papalia is good as well.
Yep.
I prefer when they are in charge of commentary, and then you've got some jackass, like,
yeah, I think Dermy that it's or whatever fine on special to comments. Have a special comments that was a former player. If you get one like that game where it was Hill and Hutto as the commentators, who are commentators, and then you have people doing special comments who are former players, that's how it should be.
Yeah. And I want to give a non-shout-out to Joel Selwood and Joe Watson for being the worst
Joel
special
Selwood,
comments.
Joe Watson and Luke Darcy all together at last.
What a combo. Joel Selwood is really not doing his reputation good. He's just had a stand named after him, probably, arguably, Geelong's best non-Ablett player of all time.
Yep.
And he's making an ass of himself.
It's embarrassing. He's just Joe, but dry. He's dry Joe.
Dry Joe?
Drobe.
Joe makes me laugh. Yes. Selwood makes me go, ugh.
Selwood made me laugh that one time he went, when you win,
I like Hodge. I think Hodge is good Hodge's on special okay. comments. I love it when he goes at BT. I don't mind Richardson either because I think he makes fun of himself.
Yes.
So
he did. I think we heard that a few times the other night.
If I'm ranking out of those four, Hodge's top, Richardson Hodge, second.
Job
probably
Selwood.
Job Selwood. That's
brutal.
Rough.
That's brutal. Schofield's good, actually. He does
WA. Oh, yeah, sorry. Schofield in WA. He is definitely a bit WA biased.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But I think that he does WA bias in a way that I enjoy, that he's just so deliberately anti-Victorian media. Yeah. And he just loves stirring the pot.
Mm. He'd agree with me this week. He has Jack Buckley as one of the best defenders in the league.
He's been a Jack Buckley defender from day one. I remember when they were given some votes. I think they stopped doing it, but... For defenders, he was just giving Jack Buckley them almost every week just because he wanted to.
Makes sense. I mean, don't act like we don't do that, Sam Collins.
Sam Collins. Still couldn't win it. It was rough. But we didn't expect Tom Barras to have the best second half of a year
in the bottom side
ever.
I've
heard happen. So, game of the round this week. What's your money on?
I like Richmond Port at the MCG.
They've had some fascinating games in the last few years. I
don't think Richmond are in a bad spot with the two games they've played.
I had originally tipped Richmond. I've changed it to Port now, and I'm not confident on that. I just think that Richmond, obviously they played through them, but they had some pretty bad injuries.
Obviously.
Take Prestia out of that midfield, and they're going up against Rosie Butters.
Yeah.
McKenty.
Mac and cheese.
He's done a concussion though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he won't play for 12 days. I think St Kilda Collingwood is the real game of the round.
Yeah.
If St Kilda win that game, huge ramifications for not only Collingwood's season, but their current standing in the competition.
And I think Bulldogs Suns is going to be really interesting to see where the Suns are at.
The other one is Adelaide Geelong. Yes. Do Adelaide Fire back at home? Are they still just a home side?
It is interesting that they... won at home almost all year last year. I think their midfield should dominate Geelong. They've got a very good midfield. Geelong's got a good record in Adelaide. Adelaide last year did choke some games they shouldn't have. They lost two. I'll give them the Richmond one.
I'll give them the Sydney one as well.
Yes. But I'll give them the Richmond one because that was after the heatstroke game. Yeah. GWS came over here and lost to West Coast, which was unfathomable when you look at both of those teams' seasons. So that game they played against Richmond, I'll give them a pass because they played 42-degree heat at Showgrounds the week before. But the game they lost to Collingwood in Adelaide was the big one, and they really should have won that. They lost, I think, by a point.
Was that Gather Round?
It was, yeah. And they should have won that. That was one of those ones where Collingwood did a Collingwood.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see against what is a bigger pressure team. They played a lot of the lower teams at home last year, and we talked about it a lot, about the fact they looked so good at home. They should, on paper, beat Geelong.
On paper, they should beat Geelong by 30, 40 points.
Absolutely agree.
But the kids in the midfield look promising for Geelong. It'll be interesting to see how they stack up against a team that piles on the pressure. We all know Steele and Brad Crouch are good midfielders, but they are not quite to the quality of what Adelaide are going to put through.
I agree.
No offence to Jack Steele. He's a legend.
And I think with Sinclair, St Kilda win that game.
Yeah, probably.
He beat Geelong on his own last year. I think...
if you swap Bonner out for Sinclair, that's probably a win.
I think Geelong have to play Bowes this week. I think that they needed a better kick in the midfield. Going forward, that was a big part of their problem. And Bowes was recruited almost specifically for that and then didn't get played.
Yeah.
But I just think Adelaide get it done. Tex back is a question mark.
Oh, if he's back.
Phil Thorpe back, obviously not going to happen. So that favours Geelong's tall defence. But I don't see a way it goes the other way. So I will give my game of the round to Bulldogs Gold Coast.
Okay. I'm gonna stick with my I'm going Collingwood Sydney. Collingwood St Kilda. That's the most interesting ramification wise. Yeah. Ross Lyon gets a loss in Geelong and then a win against the reigning premier. Really good start to the season.
And then Collingwood 0-3 would be
going into a match massive, against Brisbane the week after.
Dacos' 50th game, which I don't know if we have to do it. Do we want to run down our? We did 50 episodes last week, so we should do a ranking the episodes. 1 to 51.
The top 10 is definitely going to be the 3 or 4 times I've actually brought notes to the show. That improves the quality.
I think,
the episode we came back after COVID and we ranked 4 weeks of footy.
Oh, we had to do so many weeks of footy. It was like an hour like episode.
We did like a 20-minute episode where we just did the vote That's and right. said, see ya, we're still sick.
We still have, yeah. Fun fact, we got COVID in the house this week.
Yeah.
We almost didn't get this done tonight, but we're here. We're both not got COVID, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's the cat.
It's the cat, again. But yeah, I think, I don't know where Brett Burton ranks. People liked that one, but it was a bit more serious.
I wasn't on that one, so it doesn't count.
You weren't there. He's still doing stuff for my work, Brett. Some of the boys are going to see him again soon. One of my co-workers was chatting to Charlie Constable about a business project recently.
What was is it Geelong? Was he a Geelong West Coast? Someone white, Sean?
Yeah, I know him. Was it Darryl White? He got traded to Geelong when they just had no forwards.
If I tried hard enough, I could probably get him on the podcast.
He was the it was meant to be the greatest forward line of ever all time. He and Kingsley, when White still had no knees left.
That's something that would make you cream your pants. You talk about Kingsley like he's the
Kent Kingsley,
the second coming.
I loved Kent Kingsley. If I had a nickel
for every time you mentioned the story about his fucking boots, I would have a wallet full of nickels.
My actual favourite Kingsley moment was when Geelong were like, it was in that early noughties era where they were sometimes good, sometimes shit, and they were playing Freo in Perth, and Kingsley was lining up for goal, and we were on an aisle seat, and Dad just turns sideways in the seat, legs in the aisle, and just covers his face because he didn't want to watch Kingsley kick for goal.
You've watched me and watch my team.
We were with Mackay the other night, hiding behind the Joel Selwood poster over there as he's lining up. It was so funny. It was. And then you missed out of me doing the same thing when Dangerfield was kicking on goal.
I watched it back. I was like, how did he get that?
He doesn't kick those. And the interview after the game, they asked Holmes, and he pulled a little face. He's like, oh, I mean, it went through, so we're all happy about that. Then they said, Danger, were you confident in that? And he said, it was a goal, so I'm happy.
I watched the footage back. No, cool as a cucumber, did not care. No. Finger up, no celebration.
The boys swapped
him. Put some heart in it,
like,
Dangerfield.
Jez was all over him, and
Jeremy Cameron will celebrate anything.
Oh, he will.
He'll crack a fake
beer
at any time.
That goal he kicked was ridiculous.
Shout out to Frederick's goal that didn't get a nomination.
Didn't even get nominated. The and then you get a couple of just snaps go through. Goal of the round. I think that you should have people who were good at kicking goals do the nominations for goal of the week.
I'll do it.
So there's like a level of difficulty factor.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like that Cozzy Picker one was a good goal, but they practiced that, like the one-step snap.
There's also definitely a prestige factor. Cozzy Pickett's getting in over Frederick. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Frederick gets in if he does a backflip.
Yeah, he should have done two.
Should have done, yep, has to do the backflip to get the goal that you're not. Trying to think of anyone else to talk about. Jed Buse didn't play.
That's
I was shocked.
In a row.
Only one. Only one
he didn't play preseason, did he?
I think he did, but they had bigger lists at the time.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that. He's one of my all-time favourites.
Defender, podcast favourite. I think he makes Geelong side better, but maybe he's aging out of it.
Maybe he's aging out of it. I can't think of anyone else that missed this week that I thought should have played. Jack McRae's not a defender, but he should have played if he was fit. There's been some weird mixed messages about that because I've heard some people out of Bulldogs saying that he's not fit. And he had an interrupted preseason. They just wanted to give him another week. And then I'm hearing some people saying he's been dropped. So who knows what the story is there. Bevo's going to Bevo all the time as well, which doesn't help.
I read Caleb Marchbank. It's been listed as illness since the preseason. I'm like, what's illness? Apparently he's had influenza A. Has dropped six kilos.
Also I remember Heaney had Ross River virus 1 year. He missed a lot of footy for that. So like, illness can be a thing.
Well, dropping 6 kilos as a key defender is not ideal.
Not great.
So, that's a worry. But, I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head.
Oh, I mean, played as a defender last year when he shouldn't have against Tex. Oscar Allen injured again.
He played as a defender a few times.
West Coast can't take a trick. I think he played on Curnow as well at one point.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Kicked his 10th goal on him.
West Coast can't take a trick. It's their injury list is again horrible. I wonder if Lathlane's surface on the second oval is poor. You don't
see the same thing with the same type of injuries for Freo, so I doubt it's Optus.
Yeah, and they sacked their Freo had 3 injuries on the weekend as well.
Oh, come on.
That was
brutal. Oscar McDonald's knee, you couldn't do anything about that.
the only one that was Cox, obviously, which is the big loss of the three. Yeah. Like, McDonald is, while they need key stocks at the moment.
Well, with McDonald's Cox and McDonald going down in the same game.
Cox is huge for them. He's been really good at playing both forward and back.
Mm-hmm.
Having McDonald there allowed him to play forward. McDonald going down took him back, then he got injured. Warner's was just a freak accident. I think they were both out of their peripherals. Both of those players had no idea where the ball was. And that was horrible to watch.
Hopefully he's all right.
But I liked that Freo looked good.
Yeah. We'll see if the injuries affect them. Brennan Cox is a huge out, and they've lost another key defensive stock. So potentially Young might have to go back. RIP fantasy players. So that's one to watch out for. But
I Warner missing from the midfield. They've got to put someone else in there anyway. So it's hard to replace. But and Ethan
Hughes. What's Mundy doing? There. He can come out of retirement.
Mundy come out of retirement? Do what Schofield didn't play with Waffle last year?
What was it, one game, two games?
He played two games, then he landed on his back and he went, I'm not doing that ever again.
No.
Which, frankly, I can't believe he did it.
That's how much he loves his club.
It's impressive.
Mm.
I'm pretty wrapped up for this week.
I'm pretty wrapped up as well. I've got nothing else. Glad Footy's back. It's good to have something to do on the weekends. It's not just...
When I got home on Sunday and just dropped on the couch, it was nice that there was just footy on.
Yeah.
It's making my... I'm starting an hour earlier some days so I can still go to the gym and make it home before the footy starts.
I just like getting on lunch from work and turning on the TV and watching Robbo say something ridiculous from last night's 360. So,
or not show up for an hour now because they started earlier.
Maybe I should do that next week on the podcast.
I'll talk myself for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, daylight savings ends, which helps us soon. So footy's back to a more normal time for us. I think that's been the main problem.
I might not have to work from 6 a.m. anymore.
That'd be nice.
Would be nice.
You can find us, as always, at thebackpocketau.com and at thebackpocketau on all social media websites. And you'll find The Back Pocket on Spotify, Apple Music, Google, even YouTube if you find it that way. But there's no visual. We don't have cameras in this house. But
you don't want to see me anyway.
Thanks for tuning in. We will see you again next week. Enjoy the footy.
Bye.